welcome to this week's episode of Observations. I am your host, Sovereign Sire, and I am brought to you by the Bon Vivants and Ne'er-do-wells at julieland.com. And as always, I am joined by the lovely Mr. Richard Avery.
Good morning.
You're not in the grave yet.
Good afternoon. I know, huh? Good afternoon. Hello.
Today, my guest is Gabby Dunn. She's a very pretty girl.
Hello. I'm Gabby. just to let your audience know who's here.
You are many things. You are a comedian, kind of. You are an actress, kind of. Mm-hmm. You are a YouTube star, kind of. Mm-hmm. You are a writer, like you're
more so a writer.
But you're not a writer, kind of. Like a writer, you.
Yes.
Like Yoda, a writer you are.
A writer.
And you've kind 100%. Of become these other things sort of to...
Yeah, we started... I mean, I've been like an internet-y person always and like writing online and making videos and stuff, but not in any consistent manner. And then a couple years ago, I met my comedy partner. We fell in comedy love and had a whirlwind romance where we started a YouTube channel and we were both like, this won't be a thing. Because a lot of times you start stuff with people and you're like, it was one episode. I'll never see you again.
Right.
And then it's ended up being like this... Basically, our entire jobs and income is like this YouTube channel that just exploded and has become like we post twice a week and it's huge. And we didn't expect, I mean, literally, our email address is 2014 in the email address. That's how little faith we had in the project. So, yeah. And then we
act in it. Do you want to explain to the audience members that may not know what it is?
What's up, Richard Avery?
I have a question.
Okay.
Yes.
No, just what you were saying there. What made you guys bond?
Well,
a similarity in what kind of comedy did you guys like? Ooh, we both love Caddyshack. Oh, we both love you know meatballs. We're perfect together. Like, what made you guys bond?
Almost the opposite of that. She and I. So her name's Allison Raskin, and she and I met at a stand-up open mic. Which bonds anybody. That's like you just have PTSD when you get done with those. And she is a very, very like J. Crew model looking sort of alabaster. I call her, she looks like a porcelain doll that a witch brought to life. Like she's just very put together and very like she had her little purse on her arm, her little Tory Burch flats, and just was like this little doll. And I'm kind of like a, at the time I had bright pink hair and I have tattoos and I'm just kind of like a bit of like a, I always say that when she looks at me, she sees Pigpen or from like Peanuts, like
right,
just this
right,
ball
yeah,
of like
of.
Dirt coming at you.
Right.
And, we were complete opposites and then we just hit it off, not in like a, what you were saying where it's like, oh yeah, we're like all the same stuff. Oh my God, we're soulmates. It was almost like a, what happens when these two people have to talk about stuff? But there was never like any animosity or any like judgment. It was just like her way of thinking was so completely opposite of my way of thinking that we both were sort of fascinated by each other.
So what is the show that you do? Like for
the show,
the listeners that are not familiar, what's the name of the show and kind of
are
what is
you
the
living
premise
under
of it?
A rock? No, I'm just kidding. It's a fine show. Called Just Between Us and it's, like an odd couple comedy. It's just me and her. On Mondays, we post a video where we're like, quote unquote, giving advice. But really, we're terrible at advice. And then on Thursdays, we post like a sketch just about us living in the world. And like these two characters, how they relate to each other and how they, you know, live in the world and what their dating lives are like and what their work lives are like.
So are you guys authentic personalities or is this scripted?
It's interesting. It is scripted. But a lot of like the sketches are scripted. A lot of the it's back and forth. The advice show sometimes is scripted. Sometimes it's we are so aware of who the characters are that we'll just improvise as them. My character, quote unquote, is me essentially. Like it's very close to how I actually am. It's a little bit exaggerated, but mostly. I'm just like myself. And then Allison is purposefully presenting like the worst version of herself where she's like more, even more uptight, even more like gold digger, even more like this sort of,
I like this girl.
She's great. All she wants is like a tall, rich husband. Like that's it. and she is her own worst enemy in achieving that.
Because she keeps going for short, poor guys.
She just is... Well, Allison in real life has OCD, which has been like a nightmare cloud on her entire life. She's got a way better handle on it now. So she plays up this sort of like girl who can't... nothing is up to par. She can't stand anything. Like, everything is, you know, oh, she ruins her own happiness over and over again. And then my character is kind of, like, has all these societal flaws, like, queer, polyfeminist, like, you know, like, very, like, sex positive, very, like, all these things. And then my character is, like, super happy and chill and, like, just, doesn't want anything that society has deemed to be, like, what you should want and is, like, totally fine with it. So it's like kind of, it's become a weird commentary for us when we think about it on what women are told to want.
I have totally have questions for you about polyamory.
Oh, go for it.
Okay.
Can you first tell me what it is?
Richard well, Avery.
I see, I consider polyamory this thing, this way of turning my fear of commitment into a lifestyle choice. That's the joke answer.
I use it the total opposite way. It helps me commit.
Yes, for me too. I consider myself like of a polyamorous alignment, which means that I can love more than one person at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So if I had a boyfriend and then I met another guy or a girl that I just thought was amazing, I feel like I have the energy to maintain both relationships, as long as I had like a schedule, like a calendar, a calendar and a calculator, like I feel like that
an assistant to schedule everything.
So it turns relationship problems into time management problems.
More than scheduling. You just need an assistant.
I'm good with time management.
Yeah, but I have questions because recently. So I've always been of a poly alignment, and my previous experience it was with someone that said they wanted those things, and then, you know, whenever it came time to, you know, like I would actively encourage him. You know, he was a headshot photographer, and mm-hmm. he was always shooting like, you know, actresses and stuff. And there'd be a pretty one, and he was very charming, and I would be like, "You should ask her out. Like, go for it. Like, I want you to enjoy. Like the reason we created this freedom was like." Like, enjoy her. Like, mm-hmm. please. You know, like, would make me very happy to feel like you feel like you're being honored and appreciated.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
And he would, but then when it, like, the minute I would turn my head at someone, he would really freak out. And it became this push-pull of, like...
Yeah, I've learned from talking to friends of mine who are in monogamous relationships, it seems to me that monogamy is very fear-based.
Yes.
Where it's like they would hook up with someone else, but the idea of the person they're with hooking up with someone else is like too much for them to handle.
Yeah.
And
I'm like, but you're doing it and you know that you still love them. So why can't you afford them the same like trust and like whatever? I don't know.
Do you have noticed though, at my experience is that when guys and girls get that, oh, we're going to have an open relationship. It's usually the guys like, it's okay for me to go fuck girls. But they don't like it when the girl goes fucks other guys. It's always the guy. The guy
has the issue. That's very telling about what kind of guy you are, I think.
I know. I think that the guy is usually the one that has the issue. Not all the time, but a bulk of the time. But the guy is always
has
the issue.
Well, I'm in a situation where it is now reversed. So I started dating someone mm-hmm. that was in a poly relationship with a female. Mm-hmm. And he was a male, cisgendered male person.
Sure.
To be
we're getting
clear.
All the details.
Yeah. So he is... a born male identified person, not queer in any way, just mm-hmm. and in a poly relationship with a female bodied, female identified person.
Sure.
All of those things. And the feelings have started to be like kind of intense. And then she kind of threw a red flag on the field.
Mm.
And now they're having all these conflicts about, you know, because it was time to get down to like scheduling how much time I would get. And I was given a number like one day a month. And I said, that is ridiculous.
That's too,
that feels a little bit punitive. That feels more like exclusionary than inclusionary.
Yeah. Did you know her?
No. And but it's kind of gotten me like in the space of, I'll admit that in this particular situation, the feelings I was having were so fluttery and intense that even I myself was going, how is this going to work? Because I feel like we're falling in love with each other.
Yeah.
And I don't sense her presence at all in his heart. Like.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. I mean, that's like a different thing. I feel like if they were more communicative with each other. I don't know. I would never. So like I have a very like weird specific, because I feel like people think polyamory is just like this, you know, loosey goosey, like everybody does whatever they want type
right,
thing.
And right.
For me, in my experience, it's been actually more rules and more like regimented than I've felt monogamy has been for me. Like I would never, like if I was, I would never want them to hook up with someone I don't know. Like I feel like a lot of times it's, I want to know the girl. I want it to be a friend of mine. I want it to be somebody that we both know, or like,
right.
I have this like thing where I'm like, she, cause I'm the girlfriend. She needs to like show me respect. So like right. I need to meet her, or like I need
Does to
know
like
her.
Does that mean like you're the bottom bitch?
But she just needs to be like, and I'm like, and I know that you are the number one and you yeah. are in charge. And like, I show the only time I've not, like I want to be respected by her. So like the only time I've had trouble is when like some girl comes out of nowhere and then I'm like, uh-uh, you have to go through me. No, yeah. No. You need to be vetted and approved by me.
Send me your right. resume.
Send me your resume and a headshot and we'll see about it.
But I also feel like there's a difference between like polyamory and like and being open.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that he got with someone that her idea of polyamory was like being open, which was like you can go hook up with people.
But you
when
can't
you want.
Like have multiple relationships.
But I don't think yeah. she was thinking in terms of like open, like, oh, you can, and like my version of polyamory, and I think his version of polyamory is like
multiple relationships.
Relationships. Because yeah. my thing is, especially given my line of work, I'm not that interested in hooking up. Like, I can go to work for that.
Yeah.
Like, if it's purely a physical thing,
yeah.
I can go to work where the person's been vetted, they're hot, they're
right.
safe, they're yep. whatever. And like, I don't have to do any of that footwork.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no emotional attachment whatsoever. I mean, there's emotional feelings of friendship, but there's no.
Right. And you would want. Like someone who you have more of an emotional connection to.
Right.
And maybe a girlfriend would not be okay with that. But she, what would she prefer? She would prefer he like go out to bars and just hook up and
yeah,
not.
I think so.
Oh. See, that's why you have to talk about every little thing.
Right.
You can't just say, oh, we're both polyamorous. Great. Like you have to like, it's so tiring because it's almost overanalyzing everything. Like
but
you
do
have
feel like,
to.
Do you feel like.
Communication.
Do you feel like our generation is like suffering from. I feel like our generation suffers from like, we have so many options.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of come to terms with the fact that monogamy is not necessarily realistic, because monogamy has been around since like, no, before today, like we have so much access to each other, like 24/7.
Yeah.
Constant variety, options.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that like previous generations had no, like, I mean, at first
you know,
I wouldn't like,
write a letter to another girl from the battlefield.
Well, it's like the thing is, like, you know, the first thing started when like women came into the workforce, and that was the first time. And then you had
then
that
there
trope
were affairs
of the,
and
yeah, you had
yeah.
that trope of the boss and the secretary or this or that, because it was like basically like where the options were presented.
Mm-hmm.
Someone went like, oh, I have choices now,
mm-hmm.
and it became harder to resist temptation. And now it's like with Instagram, Twitter, texting, like now we have like infinite choices at any time of day. It like monogamy seems increasingly just like kind of ridiculous,
yeah, well, I
right?
I think you it's have like, to. I think you do have to be realistic. What bothers me the most in monogamous relationships, and when I talk to friends of mine in monogamous relationships, is that there's like this expectation to lie. Like you're supposed to get into a relationship with someone and then speak ill of your exes, or say, oh, I've never found someone else attractive, or like, oh, is that girl, like that sitcom thing of like you're sitting at a table with your boyfriend and he looks at a girl and you go, did you look at her? And he goes, no, I didn't look at her. Like, da, da, da. Like that to me is like, what are we doing? Are we like in an 80s sitcom? Like, why are we pretending? We're like playing
right.
these gender roles that are like not even true. And it just like I had a talk with a friend of mine who was married about a year ago. And he was saying, well, you know, you're expected to not, you don't have to tell your wife everything. And I was like, this like gives me such a bad taste in my mouth that
right.
like, he's like, I'm sure she thinks people are attractive. I don't want to hear about it. And I'm like, that to me is bad and wrong relationship. Like that.
Was that from, you talked to him in the 1950s?
No, I talked to him.
Because that's just bullshit.
It was like, it's just this weird thing where I've just seen monogamous couples playing roles and like doing this weird thing where they like dance around like, of course I don't think that girl at work is hot. And then it's this weird like women's magazine bullshit of like, he said that this girl he works with is hot, break up with him. And it's like, just talk to each other.
Well, I mean, I had another experience where I was seeing a guy. Yeah. I was seeing a guy and we were hooking up and like he started dating someone else. And decided, I guess he wanted to be monogamous with her, but then continued to sleep with me.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, well, I've been there.
But, well, no, he would take, like, I mean, there'd be breaks. And of course, there's this feeling of like I think this person was genuinely struggling. Mm-hmm. Like, he wanted to be with this person, but he also, it was more than just a sexual thing, obviously. Mm-hmm. Because this went on for like a year.
Right.
So there was like obviously something that kept pulling this person back into my life. Mm-hmm. Like a genuine attraction.
I can only imagine.
And I would constantly be like, can't you just tell her what you want?
Right.
Like, can't you just have two girlfriends? It's like people are afraid that I'm like, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
How many women would actually be okay with it.
Yep.
Yeah. Or like just like. It's this weird idea that you're supposed to like suffer for love, which I don't really agree with, and every movie would contradict me on.
And that's kind of what he said. He's like, in every relationship, it's like, you know, you end up like,
you have
making
to compromise.
Sacrifices.
You have to make compromise.
And I said, you know what compromise means to me? It means nobody gets what they want.
Yeah.
Like that's what compromise means.
I think you guys said it well, because like I think it's a generational thing too. And it'll take a few more generations to get there. But like my generation was growing up, you got out of school, found a girlfriend, you get married, you have babies, like this whole, and then you're gonna live happily ever after. That whole like fairy tale is like it make, and I'm first person saying none of it makes sense to me, and I don't believe in any of it. So I don't know what I am, but I'm definitely poly whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like I just feel like nowadays, I think that whole fantasy relationship, monogamous relationship, I think it's like it's slowly falling apart, or like people are starting to see.
I feel like that's why the divorce rate is so high. Yeah, and like so many people that are like, oh, they had an affair, so we have to like break up,
right,
or like this kind of thing is like, it's just these like weird hard and fast rules with like how relationships should be, but that I think is what causes people to be disappointed.
I can understand having an affair and breaking up, because what we're really talking about is trust.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. If the person's honest, like I want to go.
Oh, you can't, but like,
fuck
it's
her,
like,
and I'm being honest with you, and you can say,
but
yeah,
it's like all these rap songs, like, don't tell your girl you went to the strip club, like, all these things that I'm just like, why can't you tell your, and then like, why can't, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like, talk to each other. Does no one talk to each other?
No.
That's what I've learned.
Bring your girlfriend to the strip club.
I think it's what you were saying about monogamy being fear-based is more often than not, when you root down to the bottom of it, It ends up being like,
don't you think you're
fear.
Gonna don't
like,
you think you're gonna lose
be,
him if he hooks up with someone else? I'm and then I'll lose him anyway.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like then I'll fucking lose him anyway.
Yeah.
When it's also too, I think it's like people still look to other people to complete them instead of just like completing themselves. Because like for me, like once I got like financially empowered, once I got empowered in terms of like I was like doing my writing and get like once I really took charge of my life. I mean, I was always surviving and doing well, but when I really took charge of like my future, like who I am.
When you get
all
independent
of those things,
and you get strong, like
yeah,
you say,
it's like now it's like I'm never afraid of any
the,
of that shit.
Because here's the
you
thing,
know?
As I always say to everybody, you want to get in a position where you don't need somebody, but you want somebody.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a difference between needing and wanting. Mm-hmm. And you want to be with the person you want to be with that person. Like I always say, I want to be with you, I want to spend time with you. So that makes it better than, oh, I need to. And then
right.
You're like, oh, that's.
If they leave me, what am I going to do? Yeah. I don't know. What did you do before?
Right. Like,
if someone's interested in someone else, or if someone's hooking up with someone else, like that seems natural to me. Like, of course. And also, I a lot of times I'll say to my boyfriend now, are you gonna break up with me for her? And he's like, no. And I'm like, then I don't care. Like, what are you gonna leave me?
Right.
Yeah. And I also have I have like hubris and like high self-esteem and like weird.
But no,
like
I'm the same
I'm
way.
Just like, good luck, buddy. I'm so out of your league. It's comical. So
I tend to be the same way. I'm just
have
like
fun.
I tend to be, yeah, like fairly confident that like I know what I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah.
And my thing is like, it may suck if someone leaves, like it may mm-hmm. hurt for a minute, but like it ultimately, it's like you accept that reality, which is if you if you're going to go, like, get gone.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't want to be here,
then you don't need to be here.
Yeah. Like, by all means, like, go be happy and, like, free me up to go find someone else.
In the last, like, 2 years, that's been me. Because I wasn't always that way. And then once I started, like, having career success is when I was, like, people, like, watch me. Like, 300,000 people watch me on the internet. If you don't want to be here, you don't have to be here.
Right. Yeah.
I have a lot of people I could hang out with.
I have 3,000 Facebook friends.
Yeah. Not well, but like it was, it's interesting because you'll see people in relationships that are terrible who have like, you know, meet and greets at VidCon where like people are paying money to see them and their own significant other is like, I'm lukewarm on you. And it's like, Jesus.
Right.
You don't need that person.
Yeah. I mean, like for me, it's like, I guess, like, given my profession, it's definitely, like, I can get validation. I can go at any hour of the day. I can go look on a chat room or anything, and there'll be 50 people talking about how I'm, like, literally the most beautiful woman they've ever, you know what I mean? Like, whatever it is, it's overblown, but I can go get it. It's, like, it takes two. It's, like, click, click.
Right.
Like, oh, look, I'm great. Look, there's 50 people that say I'm great. Awesome. You know?
Yeah. It's like, and then once you're secure with yourself, then it's like, I feel like maybe that's why it's easier for me to have open relationships. Cause I just like, and I would rather not be lied to either. I would rather. Yeah. And I think it's funny. Like I would love, my boyfriend Jess was out and he was talking to this girl and then he left the bar and was FaceTiming me when he was walking home. And I was like, how'd it go? And he was like, I fucked it up. Like, I don't know. I fucked it up. And I was like, what did you do before me? And he's like, I very rarely met women. And I was like, right. And I was like, I let you out into the world expecting you to score let's go over what you're doing.
He made you look bad.
Yeah. I was like, let's go over your, and he's like, I promise you I can walk into a guaranteed situation and fuck it up. And I was just laughing. But I mean, like, funny.
To me, this is the beauty of like sex work, polyamory, trans issues, is that we're finally going, sex isn't like,
sex
is the be all end the be all. All.
Like sex is a really fun physical thing that we do.
Sex is not love.
But it's not like.
I feel much closer and like more, like he's very endearing to me when he's like talking to me on FaceTime. Like, I don't know what I did wrong with this girl. Like, it's way more of like a bond and like more of like a funny sort of like, oh, this feels long term. Like, this feels like, okay, we're like.
Well, because it allows you to build like emotional intimacy, you know? And like for me, in having my job, it eliminated the need for the hookup because the emotionless physical, I hate saying emotionless because these are all
they're my friends
that I sleep with. But in sort of removing all of like the anxiety and neuroses from what do you do after the hookup is over? Mm-hmm. Like that's all gone. Mm-hmm. So you're doing the physical thing. It's really fun. But now out in my private life, I never want to hook up because I'm like, if I want to hook up, I'll call one of my coworkers that I know is disease free, vetted emotionally, what they are, and like all, and I already know how they are sexually. Like, it's not like a lottery. Like, I hope I hope he knows how to fuck. Like, I hope I'm taking this one home and he knows how to fuck. Because, but so for me now, like the only thing I look for is emotional intimacy, and in dating, that's like, I don't struggle. I mean, there's always people that want to go out with me, but the guys, like by date three, usually I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Because like what I'm looking for is like an intellectual and an emotional kind of intimacy and stimulation that a lot of people just aren't used to even providing.
Yeah. Well, often.
You know what I mean? Like that's when you realize how little, like how much people rely on sex to like be this sort of stopgap.
Like, but couples, even couples, like monogamous heterosexual couples that I know who are like, well, we're still having sex, so like the relationship's good. And I'm like, you're both in two different relationships. Like one person is like in emotional turmoil. The other person's like not giving what you need emotionally. And you're like, yeah, but we're like still fucking, so everything's fine.
Right.
And I'm like, but you don't talk to each other.
Right.
Like it's so bizarre to me that that's like the marker for what, when it's like okay and good. I don't know. It's all probably like the media taught them that this is how they're supposed to behave. And like, they're also, I had a boyfriend who said one time, he was like, well, you're going to start to hate me like all girlfriends hate their boyfriends. And I was like, all girlfriends hate their boyfriends? And he's like, yeah, you know, like you go and you like go to the bar and you talk shit about me to your friends. And then I like go to the bar and talk shit about you to my friends. And I was like,
It sounds terrible, right?
Like,
it
what?
Sounds awful.
But then I have a lot of straight female friends who will just, all they do is talk shit on their boyfriends. And I'm like, can I ask you a question? Why are you with this person?
Right?
You like hate them.
Yeah. It's always the $1 million question.
I don't know.
Girls, I don't understand. They put up with some crazy, crazy stuff.
Right?
I'm always amazed at, like...
It seems like you... And I said to my boyfriend, I was like, I don't talk about you that way. Like, I would, if I talked about you that way, I would break up with you.
But I always... Right. Since... I mean, 95% of my friends are women, and I've heard it all. And even I know two girls right now going through some pretty lame loser boyfriends. And I just sit there and tell them, why are you wasting your time? Oh,
waste of time.
I got like, you got better things to do than this, put up with this shit and go back to him and then get in an argument right. and leave and go back and all this bullshit. Who has the time for that?
See
shit?
A movie.
And then I
don't know.
Oh, get some sleep.
Get some sleep. Write a book. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Save the world.
Waste of time.
But it's crazy. And I don't know. I just believe in, I always tell people, like, it's that whole saying, I don't know if you ever hear people, especially I think girls say it a lot, where they always refer to, like, this is my soulmate. And I'm always trying to say, I always get mad where I always say, like, your soulmate is not always your partner, your lover.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, you can have more than one soulmate. Yeah, there's no rule that says you can only have one soulmate and that's it. You can have 50 soulmates and one of them might be your mom and your dad, or one might be your grandmother, right. one might be your best friend.
It's been helpful too, because like Allison and I started doing our channel and being best friends, and then and then in the time that we've done the channel, we've each had like 3 relationships. And
how
like
long
gone
have you been
on
doing
these
the
double, like 2 years.
Okay.
And like gone on these weird double dates and stuff. And like, it's just, and then it's like the consistency has been each other. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure we're going to be like way old and just like alone sitting together. Like, well, we should have gotten married 50 years ago.
Like, no, but 50 years from now, you guys will still be going on double dates.
Like dumb double dates, like the Golden Girls. I hope so.
You know, like
the Golden Girls.
But I'm like, well, it's good that I have, and it's also funny because she has said like her, in her relationship, she's like, I'm usually not emotionally fulfilled, but then Gabby will come with me to the doctor, or Gabby will like talk to me about this, or like I'll cry to Gabby. And then I'm like, what are these dudes for?
Yeah.
Just wondering, like, what are they for?
Right.
They don't have to deal with half the shit that I have to deal with.
Exactly.
I've been thinking about these things a lot lately, like relationship stuff. I think because, you know, when I came into porn, I was in the midst of a long-term relationship that I wasn't happy in, but I kind of had assumed was just going to be the one I was in forever. It was kind of like, it was the good enough one. Mm-hmm. It was that kind of, and I'd watched my mom go through a series of turbulent relationships. I have an adoptive father, and even after they broke up, he was still like my dad and I would hang out. So he was a stable force. He never got with someone else after my mom. Like he's
really?
Been, yeah. He said, and he would always say, it's too painful. It's just too painful to like sit there and divide up all your shit. Do it. Like, so he made that. So that was the choice he made.
Mm-hmm.
And I became his world, you know, basically, which was like, just as long as you're taken care of, then like, that's where he put all of his love energy, was just into like making sure like I was making it through school and high school and stuff. My mom went through just a series of turbulent relationships. And my takeaway from it was like, oh, relationships are things that everyone must do. Suffering is part of being a woman.
Yep.
Lying is part of being in love.
Yep.
Like these were the lessons that I learned. You know what I mean? A relationship is where everyone's fighting all the time. They're
absolutely.
Lying. No one's happy. And that's just part of being, that's just what it is.
Yep. I thought
and,
that too.
And so when I would experience those things in my relationships as a grown up, I never questioned like whether or not they were necessary. It was like that was just part of being in a relationship.
Especially the part about the woman suffering. Because my dad's an alcoholic and my mom was like the long-suffering like martyr person for the whole time.
Like the Saint Monica.
Yeah.
Which is what Santa Monica is named after, by the
really?
Way.
Really? Yep. Yeah. And I'm just like, yep, this is what you do. Like you're the woman and you suffer because the guy can't get his shit together.
Right.
That's it.
Or it's, my thing was, it's like ultimately like everyone's suffering. Just like no one's getting their needs met and, you know, and everyone's together for like money, convenience,
and then
ego.
The most maddening thing is my dad got sober like 9 years ago. And now my parents are like the happiest, most loving, like most like gross sexual couple in the world. And I'm furious.
Oh
I'm like
God.
So glad you two figured it out by the time I was out of the house.
Exactly. Maybe that's
also stop talking about dad's dick. I'm going to get out of this car on the highway.
But it's like, maybe that's what they needed for you to leave.
For them them to go through all that turbulence. Then me and my sister leave, and now they're just like stupidly in love. And I'm like, and my dad's sober, and everything's like lovely. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad you guys are having like the second half of your life's really working out well for you guys. I'll be here suffering the consequences of my terrible childhood.
Who's gonna pay for the therapy?
Yeah.
At least it means that the relationship had good bones then.
It did. You know what I mean? That. And she did help him through all that, and he
how long
is,
have they
like,
been married?
Very aware. 30 years? Yeah, something like 30 years. Because I have my dad was married once before, and then had my brother, and then married my mom when my brother was like 12, and then had me and my sister were the evil stepchildren, the evil like second family.
Oh my God!
I know, like for me, I've only been dating really. So I broke up with the boyfriend that I had, and then for a year I didn't even date. Like my thing was like I wasn't even. I had some hookups.
Yeah.
Like. There was like a retired male performer that like was my safety. I just would kind of hang out with him and that was great. And then he ended up, he like was a polyamorous situation and he ended up going into a monogamous situation with that person. But like, I don't know. It's like, I was just so like counterphobic. I was just like, you know, to me, relationship means rules, shame, guilt, like lies,
and
all
then
this
you,
stuff
you
think I
don't want
to do.
Person? Like, I'm defective. I'm a bad person.
No, I just kind of was like, I felt like I'm just too much for this world. Like, I'm just too much. I just
I
am not
that.
Comfortable being a traditional female. So
but
I'll
then
just
do
be
you
alone.
But yeah,
and, but
I
I've
have
just,
to
so
be
been,
alone because I'm too much.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
so
it's,
so
yeah. And so then, but in the past like 6 months to a year, I've been dating and it's been not terrible, but it's been a like a huge learning experience because
what kinds of people do you mostly date?
I was dating one comedian that was older. That was the one that was like he was seeing me, then seeing someone else, and like there was that situation. And while that was going on, I tried to not stop myself from like having other interactions that were of better quality. Then I dated a guy that was a writer, like a writer's PA, some like two comedians, a couple writers, and then
like entertainment people, though.
Like just creatives. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like people that I kind of met through the course of doing either the podcast or doing some of my like, writing projects.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like people are just people that I came into contact with because they were in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because even at a bar, like I walked into a bar and like hit on this guy. And we like went on a few dates and he was like in the midst of writing a sitcom pilot for IFC.
Right.
And I was like, so even when I go in totally blind,
to
I'm still going
to
walk out with the
never
with the clown.
A doctor. It's like
never
a doctor.
No, I'm always, I've fucked a lot of clowns. I have fucked a lot of clowns. I'll just put it out there.
That's what I was going to ask if you're only mostly attracted to like creative types.
I think the first person I was with was an MMA fighter and a pilot. And then I was with a TV news journalist that was like an adult drop-in on the grad program I was in. So I was the youngest one in the program. And I think he was one of the oldest people in the program, like in this poetry program.
Oh, okay.
And so he was a news
That's
reporter.
Cute that he's a news reporter doing poetry.
Yeah. And I like, I just like,
adorable.
I was like, oh yeah, no, I was totally, I was like, who's
back
that
to
dude?
You in the studio. Right before we do that though, I'd like to present my haiku.
Yeah,
he was about what I'm reporting on.
He was a really amazing person.
There was a newsman from Nantucket.
Well, I fell in love with him when he was going through a divorce with his wife and he was like, totally dejected. And he ended up doing this piece called I think it was called like When the Heart Heals or something. And it was like he went to these four, because he was so upset, he went to these four different people that experienced like just unbelievable tragedies. One was like a family where like a crazy guy had broken into the farmhouse and like killed two of the children.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so it's like
he
like
wanted to understand grief.
So he basically went and like did a profile of these people just as a way to escape his own pain, you know?
Oh, wow.
And he ended up getting like winning Emmys and stuff for it. Like, so, and I remember that was a moment where I was like, this is like someone really special.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He was able to create that kind of whatever. So that
create out of pain and tragedy and grief.
Yeah. I was a trap queen for a little while. two times over. Three times over, actually. Three different trap houses.
Really?
Gentlemen, yes.
Did they all know each other?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Was there problems with them all knowing
each other? No. Like, I've always been like, a diplomat or something. Sort of like, they'd all kind of, like, concede, like, She's too good for me. Like, everyone was, like, willing to admit that the next was, like, maybe slightly better and able to appoint me better in a better honeycomb hideout than
that's
the previous.
That's great.
That was during a sort of a darker time in my life.
Sure.
And then coming out of that, I was with a photographer and then, yeah, comedian, two writers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mostly, like, creative types.
Yeah, so, like, sort of as, it's kind of just whatever I'm doing.
Creative types are the best types.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've only dated, like, creative types people. Allison tried to, she, like, went on Match.com specifically looking for a lawyer and then found one, and then he was the worst. So,
that's so funny.
I was like, see, you can't do it. Can't be done.
I went on one date with an attorney, and it was the same thing where I was like, yeah.
It's like... like smart but boring, and like what else do they have?
My mom's a divorce attorney, so like she always warned me away from lawyers because she knew all of them and she hated them, and also she never wanted me to be a lawyer, and also she like just hates men. Yeah. Like she loved. Well, that's like she wouldn't say that she hates men, but like from being a divorce attorney, she's just like everybody's crazy. Like everybody's terrible and crazy.
Right. Yeah.
And like she's like everybody's mean to children and terrible and crazy.
And they can't, you know, they always
nobody can work anything out. It's very petty.
I can only imagine the stories she has.
Tons. And they're all terrible and sad.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I worked as a secretary for her and when I was in high school, and there was like two situations where like a woman would call and she'd be hysterically crying and I'd be like, "Mom, it's for you. I don't know." And then, like, another time, women would call and they'd be like, "Karen, we're celebrating. The divorce is finalized. Get out here and do shots." Like, two different ways of dealing with divorce.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think the first relationship I had that was really different was when I was in New York and I was with the photographer. And then I met a burlesque dancer that I fell madly in love with. And I stalked her for about 6 months. She didn't know she was gay. I just thought she knew, right? Like, I thought she was queer. And I was just coming hard at her.
And then did she realize you were hitting on her or no?
She did, and it terrified her. Aww. But something happened one day where she sort of capitulated. And we met, and like that night ended up like making out and all this stuff. But she introduced me to her fiance, like, which was a dude. And it was like this thing where it's like I was like her first like girl experience. Like she had been with one girl before and it had been very traumatic for her.
Oh.
And she had never told anyone. It had been like, you know what I mean? This thing where it's like, had discovered these feelings. The girl totally like dropped the ball.
Yeah.
And like, you know, left her just psychically totally wounded because she was coming from like a Catholic background where like all of this is a really big deal. And the girl kind of like
didn't
fucked
care.
Her once and was like, "Eh, I'm not that into you."
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh my God, my life has changed fundamentally. And you're like aww. Walking away." And so she like had a sort of a counter phobic reaction to any female attention. Like she just didn't want that chaos. Well, we fell in love and it was like, I went to Josh and I was like, this is my girlfriend now. Like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like a non-negotiable thing. This is my lady. And even after Josh and I broke up, her and I remained together, but the distance just proved to be.
Oh,
she was in New York. I was in LA doing adult.
Yeah.
But she ended up marrying, like I signed, I was the witness to her wedding to her husband. And they're still together, but they're in a polyamorous relationship. They're fairly open about it on Twitter and stuff.
Nice.
He's an MC. She's a burlesque dancer and performer. And then her boyfriend is like a graphic designer person that takes a lot of photos of her and stuff.
Aww.
But like, that was the first time that I was like, oh, like... That was what I envisioned polyamory, like two relationships.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Where it's like, no, like.
Do you think it's possible that someday your everything you're saying today will change?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally willing to.
It's been fairly consistent for me for a like.
But you're still young.
I am. Yeah. Yes, please. If you're listening, anyone in Hollywood, so young, very young.
no, because I just know the things.
You're like born in the doorway.
20 something.
I just remember when
21,
I was like
21.
The things that I thought. The things that I thought in my 20s was different than my 30s.
Oh,
my
and
40s,
I also
like,
think
you know.
People have this idea of me as like polyamorous, as in like I have to go fuck everybody, and I'm crazy and wild and blah blah blah.
Not everybody, like, just somebody.
And like that's, but no, not even like we'll go through very long periods of monogamy. Like I don't meet someone and feel like I have like nothing. nothing has to happen.
Sounds like to me.
A lot of times I go home, guys.
Like, sounds like to me you just want a lease with an option to buy as opposed to a buy.
Yeah, I just want.
Like, I don't want to get locked into that lease. I want to be able to trade it in 2-3 years from now.
No, I don't want to trade it in. I want.
You want the option. I'm saying you want that option to either trade in or not trade. You just want to always have that option open.
I want a person who is my person, primary person. We trust each other. We understand each other. And what whatever they're up to, whatever I'm up to, we know that this is the center of that. So then whatever else is going on is like not like there's no dire. I hate this idea of like, oh, I have a boyfriend. Oh, but it's like, I want you so badly. It's like so secret. And like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I hate that. Like, that to me is like, ugh. Like, I like the idea of like, that's your person and you talk to them and they know everything and like, and then you're free to do whatever. But then there's no like drive, like nothing feels life or death. Nothing is like, oh my God, if I don't fuck this person, like everything's the worst. Like I would rather just be like, yeah, we're like having a good time. Like this could be a thing, but like also I could go home. Like, I don't know. Like
no cuddling.
No, I like I'm a very loving person, but like, yeah, I just, yeah. And people like are busy and there's different like relationships you can have with different people too.
Right.
Like there's some people that I've we've texted, but we've never hooked up. Or like, there's
my whole philosophy on always is like, I just that like, I don't know why I was brought up and in a family that everything was about monogamy and was about, everything was like black and white. And I think as I've grown older, you just learn that everything is not black and white. It's all a bunch of shades of gray.
Right.
And what works for one person doesn't work for everybody and vice versa. Like, it's just like, you just got to be flexible. And at the end of the day, I always say, you just want to be honest with your feelings and you got to be honest with yourself.
And you have to be realistic. Like, of course they have affection for an ex of theirs. Of course you like, there's a person in your life who you like, oh, we were talking about hooking up. We never did. And that's like a little bit of a charged interaction, whatever. Like, it's like the idea that like, you meet someone, you're with them, and then like it's like you, everyone in the past, you never really loved them, and everyone in the future, like everyone to me is a gray blob except for you, babe. It's just like the dumbest thing to me,
right? And I don't even
see people. I just see gray blobs in your beautiful face. It's just like very weird.
When I see people going through these things, I always just think, get a life,
right?
Like, just, is this get a life. Yeah. Like, is this...
I know it's mean. I feel very like, I've reached this enlightened plane and you're all stupid.
Well, it's not even like... that. It's just like, aren't we all... Like, if the most interesting thing in your life is your relationship to another person, you have much bigger problems than whether or not they're going to cheat on you.
I also love other women. Like, I love other women. I love when women think that my boyfriend is attractive. It makes me feel very validated. I love being friends with women. Like, I don't ever want to have the, like, she thought my boyfriend was hot, so fuck her. I'm going to glare at her across the bar. Like, right. Let's chat. Like, clearly we have similar tastes and interests. Like, what's up, girl? Like,
right,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I never... I think polyamory, too, helps with, like, being friends with women and helps with, like, being open to allowing, like, other women into your life and, like, being friends with women who have dated your exes and being friends with women who, like, you both like the same. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah. That's my worldview. I'm running for president in 2020 against Kanye West.
Really?
Yeah, this is my announcement right here on this podcast.
We got the latest news. Big news. Let's tweet it quick.
Yeah. Should we wrap it up then with that? Should we? That seems like a good way to end.
Sure, yeah.
Vote for Gabby Dunn. Jesus Christ. Do you want to tell people where to find you?
Can I be vice president?
Well, which version of you, man? I'm on Twitter at Gabby Dunn, GABYDUNN. I'm on Instagram at Gabby Road, GABYROAD. Very cool Beatles pun. Where else? I don't know. My YouTube channel, youtube.com/justbetweenusshow. That's the channel we talked about in the beginning, if you remember.
And you guys know where to find me at Sovereign Sire on Twitter and ilovesov.com. And this podcast can be found there on iTunes, on SoundCloud, or on julielandradio.com. You can also find me on YouTube on Boss Bitches of History.
Did we get to all the questions?
We'll have you back.
Okay, cool.
Okay. And with that, I bid you all adieu.